My name is Dave Bella, and the session that we have today is Christmas time. And thinking back, the way I would have written it, I would have had the first Christmas time be Christmas in capital letters and time in small letters, and then the second one would have been Christmas in small letters and time in capital letters. I might give you some sort of hint. Well, when you talk about Christmas time, people have a tendency that, well, I'm going to talk about Christmas and the time of Christmas. And the word, most of you probably focused upon the word Christmas. And I'm going to focus on the word time, okay? And then we'll get into Christmas because you see, you respond to that without knowing it far more than you respond to the word Christmas. I mean, look on your wrists, at least about half of you here. You've got some sort of icon or some sort of whatever you want to call it, a strap to your body. That would be strange for another culture. It's considered very important in our culture. We just take it for granted. There was a person who had worked in the Peace Corps, and he described in some of these countries where they were too poor to buy a watch, they would paint one on their wrist. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do that? See, they recognized how important it was. How important it was to us. Okay? Okay, is everybody, I mean, we run around and our behavior is shaped by that. Okay? Okay, now let's see if we can come to grips a little bit more with this thing that clocks measure. And some of you may have been to the session last week. We had a session on time, and this one's going to follow along on that a little bit. What do clocks measure? What do they do? Any ideas? Any ideas?
Schedule you.
They schedule you, right. They schedule you. Notice that.
Makes it possible, though, to do things in a social community because unless we have a common meeting time, I don't know how we'd ever get together to do
okay,
these
it has certain practical purposes that it serves. Okay? Okay? Is there such a thing as time in itself? Okay, that's kind of, there's something in existence, but it's not the same thing that we measure on a clock. And in fact, it turns out that many societies, in fact, probably most, don't have a word for time, at least using it the same way that we use it. Strange. So this says something about us, about how we think, and as John Schramm, I think, is saying, how we think with, we don't think about time. Yeah, how often have you thought about time and pondered on the essence of time? You know, you just don't do that. You think with it. You just take it for granted, and your life is shaped by it. Okay? John Schramm is saying, what we need to do is think of the Bible that way. Not think about the Bible and figure it out, but you think with it. Well, we're used to thinking with time. And maybe that gets us in trouble a little bit. What I'd like to do, and I've done this for people on the tape, if they've listened to one of my other tapes on time, that they probably can turn this section off on this tape, because I've read this before. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like to imagine a visitor from another world coming here and observing our behavior. Okay? And they try to figure out what's really going on with us. Okay? So they first land, and they land out in this beautiful field, and they arrive. I don't know how they arrive, but they arrive out in this beautiful field, and there's a couple having a picnic under a tree, and the wind is blowing gently, and the nice breeze, and the sun's shining, and the blue sky, except for a few beautiful clouds passing by, and you can hear them laughing, and it's really a beautiful time. And so, of course, they are very impressed by this. Very, very much impressed by this. And then All of a sudden, one of the persons looks down at this device strapped to their body. They jump up and say, "Oh my God!" They grab all their things and run and take off. Oh my God. Very interesting. So this person says, "I wonder what this God does." So he looks around. And after a few weeks, writes back a report of what he or she has observed. And I'd like to read a copy of this report from the visitor from another world. "Every eye is really an eye of a silent time god. The god's eye peers over the rooms that humans live and work within. Humans even keep a god's eye near their bedsides. They even strap god's eyes to their bodies. There is no escape or privacy from the god's eyes. When a human looks into the God's eye, stern and demanding stare must come forth. Yet to us, the God's eyes look harmless. We ourselves have never observed the God's use of force. It is the humans themselves who enforce the time God's demands. Humans rush together to meet the God's demands, often in such a mad frenzy that they even kill themselves, either quickly and violently, or slowly, yet it is the humans themselves who reprimand those who do not keep up with the God's demands. We have seen 1,000 people rush all at once to the same place. Then they work. Later they all eat their lunches. Then they work some more. Then they all leave their work and rush en masse, which can be dangerous, to return to their homes. The next day they repeat all this. But here is the really amazing part. None of these people needed to say, 'Let's go to work,' or 'I feel like eating,' or 'Let's all go home,' or 'Let's do it again.' The time god silently spoke through its multiple eyes, and all but the privileged few and the outcast leapt to its demands." Okay? You begin to get some sort of picture. Maybe we're not as rational as we think we are. Okay? But we find out, okay, does that mean, you know, that person doesn't sound too crazy. That person sounds, well, maybe that's not a bad observation. Okay? It's hard to imagine a different concept of time. Different, very hard. And I think you've kind of touched on maybe a little different, the coming together of things. That's what he was saying. Let's see if we can maybe think a little bit about how we might view the world from a non-technological, non-clock time. Okay? I'll tell you a little story. I used to work in the Southwest with the American Indians, Native Americans. And I went back a few years later, and then they had a celebration that was on the sign. It said, "The celebration will begin at 4 o'clock Indian time." Okay? Now, there are several people, I think, who are familiar with Indian time. How many here? Someone? Okay. Okay, now what would happen? They'll all know the answer. What happens if you go there at 4 o'clock? Nobody there except you. Say everybody, right? Right. You're the only one there. Okay? So you go there. Now, see if this fits, this story fits. So I go there at 4 because I want to see what's happening. I'm the only one there. A little time later, an announcer shows up. Okay? They have this. This is a joint celebration between the non-Indian community and the Indian community. And there's a loudspeaker system there. So the announcer starts making announcements in Navajo. And I'm the only other one there, and I don't understand Navajo. But it's announcing time for the announcer. Right? It's announcing. What time? Announcing time. And the announcer makes announcements. And then people start over. You just watch. And things just start happening. And I think this is where they just start happening. They're flowing together. And these people come and these announcements are going. And no one's paying a bit of attention to these announcements. Because it may be announcing time for the announcer, but it's not listening time yet for the listeners. because they first have to have greeting time, you see, when they meet the people. That's what time it is. And you begin to see this process happening. And pretty soon, there seems to be some order coming out of it. You're not sure where. And the behaviors start becoming a little less independent of the announcing. And you begin greeting time and preparing time. And then there's kind of some dances going on, and people are watching. And that flows into something else. And that flows into evening time, and then fire time, and dance time, and then sleepy children time, and then sleep time, and then it reemerges, the celebration reemerges the next day from rest time into a more active stage. And then you say, well, what time did the celebration begin? Well, the celebration began at celebration time. That's what time. How could you have a celebration begin to something else? It's when the other times unfolded and together interweaved and made celebration time. Okay? Now, you wouldn't have something as important as a celebration submit itself to these silly little hands pointing at numbers and going tick, 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 tick. I mean, why do that? Now, of course, you kind of use these clocks to sort of tell when you would all kind of start the celebration time, because people had to come there, but it really wasn't, the clock really wasn't that important. You see, celebration time was when celebration came together. And if celebration didn't come together, it wouldn't be celebration time. Simple as that. Does that fit kind of your experiences? It fits? Others?
It always seems to me that our concept of time is an abstraction. It has no relationship other than we make of it.
That's right. I'd like to repeat that. He says that time, as we perceive it, is an abstraction. It's not something gotten from reality, and it's what we make of it. It's what we make of it. Now, the reason why we make a lot about the clock time is because there are certain expectations that we place upon each other that characterize our society. Okay? There's certain values we hold, certain attitudes that we have that are so much part of who we are that we have to have a clock to help us. Now, the Indians didn't need that. Okay? In other words, there's certain values that we think with. We don't think about. We don't think about time. We don't figure it out. We think with it. We live it in our actions. And John Schramm says that's the way we should approach the Bible. And he's against Bible study because Bible study is think about. We analyze it, figure out what it says, and give true, false, you know, quizzes and stuff like that. And he says, no, he's against that. And I'm really beginning to understand what John is saying. He says, we need to think with it and just think how you think with time. You don't consciously spend a lot of time. I can't even get away from the word, you see. All right, now, what does the clock allow us to do? And how do we actually use it? I'm going to write a few words on the board. One of the things, it allows us to plan things. It allows us to be orderly. Plan and order things. And schedule things. In a precise way. And in an objective way.
You call it a social compromise.
Huh?
Almost call it a social compromise.
Yes, this is socially what we've all agreed is important. Not agreed because we have these commandments up on the wall, but we agree in the way we talk and the way we act. Okay? So, we should plan things, we should order things, we should be precise, we should be objective, we should be efficient, we should be productive, okay? We should solve problems, of course. That's part of being an orderly, precise way of doing, being productive. That's usually called problem solving. Those are the things that we feel that we should do. And you can see this in our language even. Get to the point when someone's talking. Okay? That's precise. Order whatever you're saying to get to the point. So as to not waste my time. What does wasting time mean? What is wasting time? I say, don't waste time, if I say to you. What does that really mean? Does that mean you have something you've kind of thrown away, like wasting oil? Efficiency. What does efficiency mean? Use time efficiently. What does that really mean?
Make the most of opportunity.
Make the most of opportunity. Does it mean make the most, like make the most out of wood? Here's some, I can save it up, stack it outside. Is that what it means when we say save time? Make the most of time the same way make the most of wood?
Specific purpose.
Specific purpose, right? That would be part of the order. You have a specific objective you've got to get, part of the being productive. But if I want to save time, if you run out of time, if you run out of wood, I can give you some. I can say, here, have some. There's some more out there. Can I do that with time? So what does it mean to save time or use time? What does it really mean?
It means to get them, make the most productive use of the time you have.
Okay. But I still could, huh? Priorize time. Well, I could prioritize the use of wood. What does it mean? I say, again, I'm pushing you. Be efficient. Or suppose I say, you're wasting time. How do you feel? What does that mean to you? What is your response? I'm putting a judgment on you. Aha, you see? When we say don't waste time, it's something about your behavior. Your behavior. And we say don't waste time, that's another way of saying you're not going fast enough. Right?
You're not valuable enough. You're not useful.
Yeah, and you're not useful, which means you're not doing all this stuff. You say, you're not useful. Okay, we can put useful up here too. It should be useful. Full of use. And of course, control. When you use something, of course, you control it for some specified objective. When I have control, well, that's part of order. You see that? Okay? Now, the clock allows us to do this. But what you had said before is it's really an abstract notion that we have set up to guide our behavior. And the basis of that behavior every time we look at a clock is these are the things that are placed upon us in a technological society to do. That's what we're expected to behave. These are the injunctions. Now, we have other kinds of injunctions, of course, expectations, but these are the ones that are pervasive and persistent in a technological society. This is what we think with. We think with. We don't think about precision. I think if we asked a bunch of us to come up here and say, I want you to really define technically what precision means, or philosophically what objectivity means, or what you really mean by the word useful, we'd have a hard time to think about that. But we think with it. And the way we think with it, one of the ways is we look at that clock. And how many times do we look at that clock? And that clock paces us. And everyone else is paced the same way. Why? Because we believe in order. Okay? What kind of order? Objective order. That is, it has nothing to do with your feelings. That clock goes right on regardless of how you feel, right? Just try it, put it up there, stand in front of it, jump, cry, wail, laugh, tick, 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 it goes right on. That's what it's built to do. That isn't because time is going that way, it's because the clock is going that way, because the clock has been built to go that way. Why has the clock been built to go that way? So it can be orderly, so we can plan our lives, so we can have some way of measuring in an objective and precise way productivity and efficiency. So we can do useful things and more useful things. So we can control our lives better. Okay? See? So what we do is we think with this. This is built into our behaviors and our language so much so that we just do it. We take it for granted. Now, I'm not saying this is all bad, because certainly if you know, if you take someone to a hospital and they're bleeding to death, you would hope that they had an orderly way of taking care of solving that problem, and they would use their time efficiently and productively, and you would hope the doctor would be precise in the operation. Certainly, you know, so we're not saying that's bad. But when we recognize that this clock is something socially we have chosen, you are getting at a certain kind of behavior, you're always confronted with saying, well, when is that appropriate? Just when is that appropriate? Okay? But we have a tendency to say, oh, that's the property of the real world. That's reality. And of course, if it's a property of reality, you can't change it, you see. That's the way. That's the real world. That's really out there. Okay? You can't change that. Well, it's not so. This is socially what we've decided to do. And what we are always confronted with is, when is that appropriate? Okay. Now, there are different ways of perceiving time. Different ways of perceiving time. Which is the coming together of events, not just the clock event. You see, we've singled out one event, the pointing of numbers, arms to numbers, or with a digital clock, the flashing of numbers. That's the one event that we all share, that we relate our lives to, the clock. Because that is an objective, precise event that allows us to be orderly and efficient and all of these things right up in here. I think what you're getting at before is that there's a whole, and what the American Indians were doing is there are many events that come together to make the time. To make the time. Okay? And I think maybe we could look at, see if we can see how another society might look at it. If you came from a non-technological society, then a clock might fascinate you. Its steadily ticking sound might delight you. It would be interesting that the slowly moving hands of one clock simultaneously pointed to the same numbers of other clocks. A fascinating trinket, you might think, a curiosity. But as for your life, you were in that rhythm and flow of life within which the flowers bloomed, the leaves fell, the geese flew, the snows came, the salmon swam and the berries grew sweet. This rhythm and flow, an orchestrated wholeness, a kind of music that involved all things of significance, including yourself. It would be important to be sensitive to this rhythm, this music of wholeness. You would seek to flow with this rhythm with observation, celebration, meditation, and acceptance, so that discords and disharmonies could be avoided. You would think of withdrawing, you wouldn't think of withdrawing from this living wholeness to jump, jerk, and shove your life to fit the numbers on your ticking trinkets. Why would you isolate one thing, an insignificant gadget, and pace your life to its insensitive regularities? Should you eat dinner in response to the movements of trinkets which were ignorant of your gathering friends? The coming of dusk, the warmth of fires, the smells of baked bread, the moistness of your tongue, and even the grumblings of your own stomach? Would you do that? If you rushed to meet the regularities of these trinkets, would you not often fail to smell the flowers that bloom, watch the changing colors of the leaves, feel the fallen leaves crunch under your feet, and taste the sweet berries that come when sweet berries come? Would the impersonal regularity of clocks be that important to you? I doubt it. Right, that's another society view. The coming together of what is really significant in your life. The coming together. That is what time is. The coming together of what is significant and important in our society is planning, ordering, precision, objectivity, efficiency, productivity, solving problems, being useful, controlling. That is what is important in a technological society. And therefore, the coming together has to subscribe to this. It has to do this. And so we have clocks to help us come together in a way that is precise and orderly and so forth and so on. Okay, that's what we do. Okay, now we have to do that in order to have 400 people in the village have dinner. We have to do some of that. But the problem is, in our society, it's so dominated by the need for precision and order and so forth and so on, that we begin to think of that as being the way the world is. And we become dominated by that. Now, what does that have to do with Christmas time? Okay? If we're dominated by the clock, then Christmas time is December 25th. That's Christmas time. And what one has is a whole lot of expectations to be orderly and to plan and be efficient and productive and so forth and so on with regard to Christmas. Okay? And we run around to make sure we do all the things in a very precise and orderly and as best we can. And then we feel very depressed because we can't do it. And so when Christmas time comes, we're exhausted. Now the Indians would say, but Christmas time didn't come. What is Christmas time? Is it December 25th? No, Christmas time is a particular kind of celebration. The coming together of communities of people to celebrate, of communities of people to give, to celebrate the humble birth of Jesus in a manger. That's what Christmas time is. It is celebration and giving and the experiencing in community of the humbleness, the amazing humbleness of the birth in the stable. Now, if that coming together doesn't happen, then it isn't Christmas time. You see it? The same way the Indians would say, well, at that celebration, if the announcer didn't make the announcements and that didn't flow together with it, and the people didn't gather and meet each other and that didn't flow together, celebration time wouldn't have been. The clock would have kept ticking. That's true, because the clock was built to do that. But the coming together of what made Christmas time, what made it Christmas time or celebration time, if that doesn't happen, then it isn't celebration time and it isn't Christmas time, even though you go through the motions of what you're supposed to do and you've been planned and orderly and precise and all the rest of that. If the coming together of what is significant doesn't occur, then it is not Christmas time. You see from another perspective then how another non-technological culture might look at it. Now, I think we need to learn from the few peoples who are left on this earth who are not dominated by the clock, are not dominated, actually there's quite a few of them, but it's hard for us to get in touch with them. The few peoples who are not dominated by this, not because they are somehow they've solved all the problems or whatever, but because we're different than they are and we can learn a lot from them. And they can learn from us too. I think we can learn that this concept of time, this coming together of what is truly significant, that's what makes the time. The clock is simply a device that may or may not help us to bring these significant happenings together. That's what it is. It's a device. It's not measuring something real out there. It's a device that can help bring together what is significant. And that means it's important for us, if we want to celebrate Christmas time, to really examine what is significant and how that which is significant can come into being. Because if we don't do that, and we don't do it in our actions, if we don't think with Christmas, then it won't be Christmas time. What will it be? It will be a technological event. December 25th, where after you are exhausted because of your planning, ordering, and efficiency in productivity, you say, "Phew, it's here." And how do you know it's here? Well, you have this sense of relief. You look on the calendar, it's been marked off, it's there. Okay? There's that objective time. Sure. Right. In fact, it's continual. Christmas time is continual. It just happens to be brought forth into prominence at certain, when it gets brought forth, I was going to say at certain times, but when it gets brought forth and celebrated. But it doesn't disappear at the end of the Christmas season. Okay? It's just that there's so many other things that burst forth, so many other celebrations that burst forth, that we don't focus as much attention upon the celebration of Christmas time, but the Christmas time is there. If what makes Christmas time the significant coming together, if that happens, then it is Christmas time. So what time does Christmas occur? When that which is significant to Christmas, which makes up, comes together. That's what time. Now, I think what I'm saying here, the calendar and the clock are not bad. I'm not saying that. I've used the word demonic. Demonic means we're a vehicle to goodness, becomes overextended until it becomes the good. Okay? I think that's what happens with the calendar and the clock. It's set up there to help us call forth Christmas time in the way we act, the way we live, the way we do things of what is significant to us about Christmas. The calendar helps us to do that, to come together, and I think you pointed that out. It helps us to come together. But it becomes demonic when we say Christmas occurs on December 25th, come hell or high water, whatever happens is going to be on that date. Okay? And so we exhaust ourselves, and the Indians would say, at least my interpretation, Christmas time wasn't. It wasn't. It's the coming together of events. It's not merely the pointing of numbers on a hand. Well, if we are going to bring forth or participate in the being of Christmas time, what is significant about Christmas time? That's a good point. I mean, we're celebrating a birth, and a birth is a beginning. And maybe that's a good time for us to say, hey, wait a minute, I really want to shove aside a lot of the stuff that's piled up. Okay? And I want to, you know, part of the celebration is celebrating a birth, and part of that is celebrating a new birth in ourselves, too.
Okay? To say ourselves is not enough.
Not enough,
it's
correct.
A community,
right. Because and we got that in the celebration time. If the announcer was the only one who showed up, or if any one of the other people were the only ones that showed up at the celebration, what time would celebration time have started? It wouldn't have. Sure, the clock would have said 4 o'clock. Big deal. Okay, what's that? A little trinket pointing to numbers. A device that might help you to call forth as a community celebration time. But if it isn't called forth, well, the clock doesn't care. It just ticks on. You've got the same ticking clock as you had before. No celebration. So in community, the coming together. Yes?
I'm thinking that time, whoever used to try to give us some definition to an abstract, to an ambiguity, as I perceive now, is not then, and is yet, and not yet. So it is now, and somehow I need to. I have that perception in my own body.
Whether
I get hungry or whatever. I'll tie that into.
Does everybody, first of all, let me see if other people understand what he's saying. We have the concept of future, which is not yet.
Right.
That's what existence is in. And past, which is gone. Okay? And how long is the space in between future and past?
So that's where we start to define. We are trying to take that ambiguity with something that gives us concrete.
Well, maybe we even have to shed that ambiguity, because here's the problem I get into. You got the future is not yet, the past is gone, and the point in between is infinitesimally small. So how's there space for anything? Yeah, I mean, you begin to start questioning, if you really question time. But go ahead, make your point.
So need to structure, this is probably a benefit of technological society, is structure your order. So we take into theology now, take God, who has, is so massive in terms of our trying to understand him, that in Christmas time is the now in which we have some understanding of some revelation of that, what we perceive as God in the world, and gives us some help to us with some definition of that.
All right. I'd agree with that, except I would even avoid the word now, in the sense this is the coming together of our celebration of something we share that God has given us.
The image of God. Right.
That would be part of this. Now, of course, God doesn't live in our time, our clock time. God can change the past. He can do that. Forgiveness, repentance, doesn't that change the past? I mean, even we can do that. Okay, go ahead.
Dave, I just want to say the way you're talking about time sounds very much to me like Matthew Fox's discussion of Jacob's ladder and Sarah's circle, that you're talking about time as a way in which we come together to share and to celebrate something, and that's time, as opposed to Jacob's ladder, which is the watch or the individual person's time. Christmas is here for me now at this date, the 25th of this time, and with no sense of, is Christmas here for all of us in a way?
That's right. The clock has this demonic side. It allows us to all celebrate Christmas without coming together, which that's what we think. We can all go individually out into our own homes and sure mark off the calendar, and sure enough, Christmas time, there it is. The Indians would say, it hasn't happened. There's the case of the demonic. It becomes the definition of Christmas, the good. The clock becomes that, the calendar. Rather than being a vehicle to allow us to come together as a community and to reflect about what it really means and to call forth, bring forth Christmas, bring forth, bring it out, in the way we actually live and act. Okay?
But how would they know when to come together?
Well, they could look at a calendar. That's okay. But see, you'd be looking at the calendar to say, how can this calendar help us to come together? Okay, you say, well, let's kind of agree roughly on this. But we've got to keep in mind that that calendar there is kind of a service to the community, an aid to the community. It's not what the community shapes itself to, regardless of what happens. It's an aid to help us bring together, and I think you were saying that. But in a technological society, it becomes the structure by which everything, it becomes the event, however the calendar and clock is saying, it becomes the event by which things are celebrated, rather than the coming together and celebrating what is really of significance. It becomes the only significance, the clock and the calendar, if we don't watch out. And you can see when that happens, you get dominated by all of this, by being efficient, being productive, being orderly, planning ahead. Okay? Controlling things. And what happens at Christmas time? It ends up being a time of exhaustion because you can't possibly meet all of these demands. And maybe that exhaustion is a message, a gift, a calling that says, that's not the point. Maybe our exhaustion is part of the fact that we haven't really had a Christmas time for a long time. We've just had a lot of December 25ths. And we've had the whole, basically what happens is the technological system takes advantage of this. It's a good time to get people to buy things.
How do we stop?
An opportunity for giving and coming together and sharing. Certainly a celebration was that. People are giving different things. In the Indian celebration, the announcer was giving announcements. People were giving things, and when the giving kind of ended up forming the celebration and receiving, the celebration happened. Okay? And their time can be a gift to help us with. But if it becomes the standard of what really is happening, the real world exists in time period, then it becomes this, these bars that were, or boxes that we're confined in. The calendar becomes a series of boxes that one jumps into and does what one needs to in that particular box. Then it becomes an oppressor. Over here, then I'll get back over here.
No, something bothers me. I think that every person in this world is dominated and ordered by time, no matter if it's in a technological world or over in Africa or just a regular farmer or an Indian. An Indian, he's dominated by his time. If he has to, at a certain time, tend to hunt, and a farmer, at a certain time, to get the plant. If he doesn't do these things, he's been starved to death.
Well, the Indian would say, I need to plant. And I need to plant when planting time.
Yeah, he's subject to time, like everybody else.
But it's different than the way we look at it.
They don't
treat time as a separate entity in itself.
But it's there, and it's dominant and it's demanding. More so than a clock sometimes. Because if they don't do the things at a certain time, brother, that's it.
But it's a different way of thinking, and I think we had better watch out when we take our words and we apply them to another culture. It's like when if I have to show up at 4 o'clock Indian time and I apply that word time and what I'm used to, like everyone will say, I get there, no one else is there, and you begin to experience those things. I think we have to be open to, yes, we use the word time for some things, other cultures think of it differently. That doesn't mean that they don't have to plant their corn. That doesn't mean that they don't come together in celebration. Doesn't mean that. But they don't do it because of the clock. They do it, they think of it differently. Yes?
Well, then I think when God started this whole thing out, he used all those words that he put up on the blackboard. He certainly had a plan. He had an order to it. So was that a precise time?
I watch that. You've got to watch, though, to see if when you read the Bible and you pick it up, if that's what they, what the word that they're using is the same one that we are using. It's different. And first off, God says, I am who I am. And our service is not to the order that we say God has given. Our service is not to the precision that we say God has given. Our service is to God. And that's different. That's different. So we don't want to put God in a box.
No, we don't. Okay? No, I agree with that.
Sorry, I worked with
people
that's closer to their concept, I think.
I think we have to, I'll get to you in a minute. I think we have to be aware that our word time has a unique meaning to us in our culture. A unique meaning. And it is a meaning that we do not think about, we act it out. And that other cultures act out what they're perceiving in a different way. Okay, now if we say they're acting out time, we're imposing our word on them. We have to let them speak to us. In the same way with the Bible. Okay, let me get over here and I'll get back.
Oh, yeah. I was
behind you.
How relate ourselves in
with the Kairos time rather than the Chronos time. There's different words. The word time in the Bible, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm getting this secondary. I don't know Greek. But there, the translation in the Greek, there are different words for the meaning of the word time. And Kairos time is closer to what I've described as Indian time than what we accept as time. And it is radically different. And we, when something is radically different, we have a hard time, that word pops up, really, really appreciating the radical difference. We say, oh, they're just looking at it this way. They must be doing what we're doing. But it's radically different. Am I not correct? It's so different that they had a different word. Now, I understand the Hebrews, they were even more radically different than the Greeks. This concept of Kairos time was far more important to them, even than the Greeks.
Well, when you keep saying we, I think you have to give the Christian community a little more credit than the non-Christian thing. Because when we prepare for Christmas, we do it differently the non-Christian. So we plan our time.
Is that, do you people agree?
No.
We try to. See, we are caught in this society that we're in. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that that's bad, and I'm not saying that's good either. I mean, there's obviously a lot of good that comes out of being in a technological society. We have to struggle with that. We have to struggle with the world that we're in, and in a sense, Christianity is a radical calling to behave differently. And that's tough for us.
It's more a matter of seeing what we're doing rather than struggling with it in society. We have to be able to see what we're doing.
That's part of it. We ought to be able to, I would like for us, let's put it this way, I would like for us, and I say this largely as an engineer, I would like us to be able to appreciate technology in a more humble way. And that includes the clock. And to realize that we're called to be more than that, this. And to also realize that because as a technological society we are so good at technology, we are, if you look at any other culture, that good part has some traps to it. Okay? That the strengths and our weaknesses are bound together. And what I would like for us is to maybe not be so dominated by a technological way of thinking. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, and as an engineer, I don't want to do, if I'm going to build a bridge or something, I have to think technologically. But what we're building, I'm putting quotes, at Christmas time, is something different. It's something different. The clock can help us, but kind of as a minor thing, kind of like a few ornaments on the tree, they help us. That's true. But we can easily be dominated by this. All right, in the back, we'll get people.
Yeah, I just have a real simple observation that maybe will help some people understand how I see it. I remember as, when I was younger, a lot younger, junior high, grade school or whatever, I remember that the advent of Christmas and the time coming was such a building up time, and finally it all came together, and it seemed like the right day for it was the 25th of December. But as I got older and as I was in college and now that I'm out teaching and stuff like that, I find that I'm done with teaching on the 23rd of December and I have 2 days, you know, it seems like that building is there. And that's just a real simple observation of where we need to. It doesn't matter when it happens because now here it's in July for me and I'm having more of a time to be able to build that feeling inside of me and it'll probably be more of an exciting this year than it has been for the past 5 years at December
25th. Okay, so there's a building, a nurturing of Christmas that we share with each other, and yet it gets very hard to do that. You experience it more as a kid.
Yeah, and as a child, we don't have the plan and the order and the organizing. Our parents probably do because they're planning and ordering and organizing it for us, but we experience it. I experience it more as a child.
Yeah, in the whole concept of time is strange to children. It is strange, and adults are kind of crazy. I mean, I give one example. I could give a lot of them, but one example, a child comes up to an adult and says, I'm hungry. The adult says, but it's only 4:30. That makes sense to the adult. What's 4:30? That's with the big hands on the 6 and the little hands between the 4 and the 5. The child knows, like boys have told me, you've asked two why, if you ask the third why, you're probably getting in trouble. And that's true. And if you allow them to ask why, they'll start asking questions about time like, how could time continue forever and ever? When did it begin? And if it began, what happened before it? And you won't know how the slightest way to answer those questions. And so we get cut them off because that's the way it is. Over here, I'll pick, I'm not avoiding people, but I want to pick people who haven't had a chance. Yeah, I think what's happening at Holden, maybe we could treat this as kind of a gift, kind of an absurd gift. Here we're having Christmas in July. What an absurd thing to do. Yes, that's right. Why is it absurd? Because it doesn't fit the calendar time, the technological time, and that's good. That's a good celebration. See, the calendar is an aid, is a gift, something kind of incidental, but that helps us to celebrate Christmas time. And so maybe we can celebrate Christmas time by trying to have come together some of the things that are important to us about Christmas. And we don't worry too much about the clock. It's even going to occur on the 24th. In fact, it starts what? I think our Christmas at Holden goes, it ends on the 12th, somewhere around lunchtime, when a lot of people in the community will be leaving us, will be out there saying goodbye, but we'll have a little bit for the people who come in. It's like, there's no really precise time on when Christmas is. It's going to kind of overlap into two days, and it's kind of absurd in the sense of a schedule in order, and I hope that you can laugh at that. Okay, say, wow, Christmas time, when do you have it? Well, on the 24th, you know, of July. Why not the 25th? Well, there were a lot of people coming and going then. This would have been hard to bring all this together. So we thought of moving, actually, in the staff meeting, and switching the 24th and 25th around. Well, we could have done that if you wanted to. It would have made you feel better. Well, you see, there's a certain defiance of the regularity that we have without throwing it out. Okay? Ah, yes. See, what a great gift. And just, what? A particular year, your birthday was on Christmas? I think, how absurd can that be? You say, right, it is absurd. And then you laugh and you'll see the other person smiling and so you're beginning to get celebration because there is a joy.
We're reminded, too, at this point, that there are some religious groups that make quite a point of this, that Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. And the best answer I can think is, so what?
So what?
Right. The main thing is that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, right. The great miracle.
And we bring together what is significant to us in community, as you've said. We bring that together. And it is so easy, and I think we all know that it's so easy to lose that, and that is so precious. So the gift I wanted to give you, and we give gifts at Christmas time, is kind of maybe a little bit of awareness of this clock that you and I so regularly gear our lives to. But that's all right, but don't take it too seriously. It's a help for something. It's not something out there that's the real world, and therefore if you don't ascribe to it, you're being unrealistic. Well, you may be impractical or disorderly or something like that, but isn't that what part of the celebration is about? That's why children are so important at Christmas time, because they're not all wrapped up in the order. And you know, the celebration is kind of an absurdity to it, and a joyful coming together, and the clock's going to have to fit it rather than the other way around. Okay? Okay, I hope you can take that with you and enjoy and celebrate and call to bring forth Christmas here at Holden and without worrying about what time it is.